You are locked into the Philadelphia Eagles. What's going on, everybody? This is Louis DiBiase. Welcome into the post-game show here, week three. The Philadelphia Eagles fall to the Detroit Lions 27-24 in what was an absolute sickening loss. A sickening loss at Lincoln Financial Field. Yes, the injuries absolutely hampering this Eagles team. Losing Jason Peters for a good portion of this game. Losing Andre Dillard after Jason Peters comes in. You don't have Derek Barnett for a lot of this game. Going in without Alshon, without DeSean Jackson, Dallas Goedert ends up playing just a little bit in the second half. But to lose in the fashion that the Eagles just did makes your stomach churn more than it even did last week against the Atlanta Falcons. These have been two of the most infuriating performances, the most infuriating finishes that you can remember from an Eagles team, well, maybe since just last year. They are looking identical to what that 2018 Eagles team was looking like in the first half of the year, right? We go back to that Titans finish where they blow a 4th-and-19. They should have won that football game. They blow a 4th-and-12 to close out the game against the Carolina Panthers. It has been the same route. It's been the same scenario taking place here in the first 3 weeks of the season. The Eagles fall to 1-2. And they take on the Green Bay Packers, an undefeated team that looks like they have an elite defense in just 4 days. So, yeah, look, this is raw reactions. I'm tuning in. I'm hitting the record button right after J.J. Arcega-Whiteside drops a pass that would have set up first and goal at the one-yard line. These receivers failed Carson Wentz for the second straight week, and it wasn't just... Look, Nelson Agholor, it looked like 2016 Nelson Agholor all over again. He had a bad drop on a 3rd-and-6. He comes up with a fumble just 2 drives later. Miles Sanders, 2 brutal fumbles to stall drives in the first half. Mac Hollins, 2 offensive pass interference calls. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside in a terrible drop on that final drive where the Eagles have an opportunity to get the ball back. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, once again, was a no-show. He was an absolute ghost in this game. I mean, the guy's a second-round pick, and we did not see much of anything from him until he has one-on-one coverage down the field on 4th-and-15. The ball goes right in his hands. Wentz, yeah, it was a little underthrown, but Arcega-Whiteside, the reason you draft him in the second round out of Stanford is to make those contested one-on-one plays. It's part of why everybody continued to compare him to Alshon Jeffrey, and he did not come through. None of these weapons came through for Carson Wentz. The only guy that really came through outside of Carson Wentz, I want to say, is Malcolm Jenkins. This is the crazy thing, is the Eagles really were trailing this game throughout, right? They struggled on both sides of the ball. They were hurt, and mental mistakes, turnovers were killing this team. And yet, with only a minute left, Malcolm Jenkins, 27-24. The Lions are leading. The Eagles just turn the... They decide to go for it on 4th down. Backed up on their own 20-yard line, instead of trusting the defense to make another stop. They have 3 timeouts left. They think, we can take a chance here, allowing the Lions, even to kick a field goal, will only be down 6. We can come back and score a touchdown, give the offense the ball back. They turn the football over. They cannot convert. Malcolm Jenkins blocks the field goal. He lays out and blocks the field goal. Malcolm Jenkins, the never-say-die core player of this defense, makes the play. Rasul Douglas returns it all the way into Lions territory, seemingly to set the Eagles up with what will be at least a game-tying field goal to send this game into overtime or a game-winning touchdown. And Jenkins blocks a player in the back, and it backs the Eagles all the way back to the 50-yard line. And then you have the drop by Mac Hollins. Seemingly, you have a first down conversion on 4th down. Darren Sproles, an incredible sideline grab. He pushed off. Offensive pass interference. You have an opportunity once again, 4th-and-15. Carson Wentz goes down the field again, one-on-one coverage to Arcega-Whiteside, and he drops it. 6 or 7 drops on the day today for Eagles receivers. If I had one big takeaway, and I have a bunch, the biggest one here is that the Eagles felt the effects of not having DeSean Jackson and of not having Alshon Jeffrey. Nelson Agholor, Mac Hollins, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, and Dallas Goedert too. Dallas Goedert drops a wide open touchdown in the left corner of the end zone. Wentz puts it over the defender beautifully, perfectly in the midst of Dallas Goedert. And while, yes, Goedert did not play the majority of the game, it was hard for him to get into a rhythm. When you're a second-round pick, again, just like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, you were drafted and you have performed, you have shown that you should be relied on to make those plays when your franchise quarterback gives you a gift like that in the end zone. And they did not come through today. They came up small. This was, once again, just an infuriating game. The Eagles started off, I mean, the biggest thing that we talked about this week on the podcast was, can the Eagles offense start fast? They used the exact formula I talked about last year. The blueprint they should have used was week three against the Indianapolis Colts. Up-tempo, no huddle, right? Get Carson Wentz into a rhythm, let him control the offense. Quick throws, empty set, rely on your running backs in the passing game. Miles Sanders had 2 30-plus yard receptions today. They did that. They started off, they scored a field goal on the first drive. They put up a little under 230 yards of offense in the first half. So they controlled the ball, they ran the ball better. It seemed like Doug Peterson had that fixed. But then what happened today, this is the thing, it's always something different. You can't always just pinpoint one reason the Eagles start off slow, why they're trailing heading into the second half. Last week it was because the offensive line was playing terrible and injuries were happening. This week, and Carson Wentz was pressing last week. I'm not going to lie, Carson Wentz was a liability last week in the first half because of what he had to do to make up for the injuries. This week, it was mental errors. Mental errors by some that you would maybe expect in a rookie like Miles Sanders, who struggled with fumbling issues at Penn State. And then others in Nelson Aguilar, you haven't seen them make those mental errors in 3 seasons. So, look, this, I understand how you're all feeling out there right now. The Eagles are 1-2. You did not expect that. The national media did not expect that. How many people picked the Eagles to win the Super Bowl or be a top 2 seed in the NFC? How many people picked them to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, even if they didn't say they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs like I had them picked? There's a lot of people right now that are extremely disappointed and shocked by the way the Eagles have started this year. And yes, there might be a documentary about how bad these Eagles injuries have been to start the first 3 weeks of the year. I've never seen anything like this. And last year was such an outlier when it comes to the health of a team for the Eagles. You thought that would never happen again. It's times 10 this year. But still, the past 2 games, you have had the game in your hands, and you let it slip away against inferior opponents. Inferior opponents. The Atlanta Falcons were getting handled last time I checked by Jacoby Brissett and the Indianapolis Colts. This was a Detroit Lions team that coaches not to lose football games. That's the thing, what I love about Doug Peterson. He went for it on 4th and 5 on his own 20-yard line. Yes, in enemy territory, or in his own territory. He didn't trust the defense. He wasn't going to play. He wasn't going to coach to lose that football game, and he went for it. The Lions were the opposite, and they still won this game, and that's the most frustrating part, is I don't think the Lions won this game. I think, once again, much like it was a lot last year to start off the season, the Eagles lost this football game for sure. The Eagles fall. They failed to come back 27-24, despite the blocked kick by Malcolm Jenkins with a little over a minute to play. Rasul Douglas, who had a hell of a game, made plays only he could in the secondary with his length and his strength, you know, stopping plays by TJ Hockenson in the red zone on 2 separate occasions, saving touchdowns, making a great swatted ball down, getting over the tight end with those that crazy wingspan at 6'2", to force a third down. Rasul Douglas was great, but even Malcolm Jenkins makes a mental error after he blocks what could have been the game-winning play in that field goal attempt, and then he makes an error with the block in the back. Just such an infuriating game, such a frustrating game as an Eagles fan. I do really understand where you guys are coming from, especially with the nerves and the anticipation of now they have to head over to Lambeau Field, which is one of the hardest places to play in the NFL. They have to do that. They have to turn around after this heartbreak. After the heartbreak last week, back-to-back, and now you got to go up against a 3-0 Green Bay Packers team that hasn't even had their offense really clicking on all cylinders. They're riding an elite defense right now, and hopefully the Eagles can get Alshon Jeffrey back at least. DeSean Jackson will probably not return until the Jets game in 2 weeks here, but just a demoralizing blow, a demoralizing loss by the hands of the Detroit Lions, who are now 2-0-1 to our surprise. But again, it's the NFL, and you know, you can never really call anybody a team that's going to be terrible unless they're the Miami Dolphins. So we're going to take a look in the stats here for this game. We'll get into some more takeaways as the Eagles fall to 1-2 for the first time in Doug Peterson's tenure as the Eagles head coach. It's the first time the Eagles are 1-2 since 2015, which was Chip Kelly's final year as head coach, when they upended the entire offense and went with Sam Bradford and DeMarco Murray. That team, when you watch them play on the field, you expected them to be 1-2. When you see the talent, the proven talent that's won championships on this roster right now, much like last year to start the season, it is beyond disappointing and it is beyond unexpected for sure to see the Eagles in the hole that they have to dig themselves out of right now. We're going to take a quick break right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. When we come back, I got more takeaways on what was a devastating loss, 27-24. The Lions take it at Lincoln Financial Field. The Eagles fall to 1-2. Don't go anywhere. This is the postgame show. Louis DiBiase right here on the podcast. We'll be right back. All right, everybody, we are back. This is the postgame show, Locked On Eagles, recapping the Eagles 27-24 loss by the hands of the Detroit Lions. And once again, I think one of the biggest pros in this one is that the Eagles, you know, you have a franchise quarterback in Carson Wentz. Completion percentage doesn't look great. Finished 19 of 36. He had 259 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, no picks. A lot of the completion percentage thing has to do with, once again, as I said in the first segment, 6 or 7 drops by Eagles receivers. That's just unacceptable. While it could be expected, considering they were without two of their top two pass catchers in this offense, it's still brutal to see some of the throws that Carson Wentz made, some of the plays he was able to extend in the pocket and carry this offense on his shoulders, and yet they fall short for him. There were so many moments in this game that made you feel like you were back watching a game in 2016 where Wentz makes a jaw-dropping play and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, if only your receiver doesn't drop that ball. That comes through as another highlight reel play by what then was your rookie quarterback. And much like it was in 2016, a lot of it today had to do with Nelson Aguilar. And in fairness, Nelson Aguilar did bounce back. That's the one thing I said last week that I'll give props to Aguilar once again. He had 2 touchdowns in this game. He finished with 50 yards on 8 receptions and 2 touchdowns. One thing about Nelson Aguilar I'll give him that shows a lot of growth in his game and him as a person and his maturity is that in 2016 he would have never rebounded after that terrible drop on 3rd and 6, a fumble. Nelson Aguilar couldn't get out of his own head in 2016, whereas now he is able to rebound off of that. And last week, make a play on 4th and 14 to get the Eagles in enemy territory with under a minute to go after dropping what would have been the game-winning touchdown. And then today, he has those 2 bad plays, but he comes back, he scores an incredibly impressive touchdown, spinning off 2 tackles and scoring, and then another touchdown in the red zone to put the Eagles back into this game. That's the one thing about Aguilar that I am very pleased with seeing, is that mental growth that he is able to rebound. And I think the same thing with Miles Sanders, who, you know, was running the football, I thought, pretty well. I thought he was making better decisions today. He was, I think, choosing when at the right time to cut on the outside, when to just take the yards inside, when to cut on the inside, but not make too many moves and just get extra yards after you make one nice play. I thought Sanders in that area looked better. In the receiving game, I thought he looked great. He finishes with 2 catches for 73 yards, and he should have had over 100. There was a 40 to 50 yard touchdown waiting to be had if Carson Wentz didn't throw the football away. If Carson Wentz holds on to that football a second longer, he'll see Miles Sanders down the right seam, and that's probably a touchdown. There were so many plays in this game where you say, if that is different, the Eagles are looking at 2-1 right now. But I guess that's the NFL, and you can't really use that excuse. They could. There's a very realistic scenario where the Eagles right now are 3-0. But at the same time, like I just said, you can't use that, because I can also lay out a perfect scenario where the Eagles don't come back down 17-7 against the Redskins week 1, and you're looking at an 0-3 start for this 2019 Eagles team right now. So maybe they are who we thought they, well, not who we thought they were, but right now they are who maybe they're playing like they are at 1-2, even though, once again, this Detroit Lions team was not a team that was playing to win this ball game. The Eagles were clearly the better team when it comes to efficiency. It's just the mental errors. The Eagles made one too many mistakes. And it's so, the worst part of this, from a fan perspective, is you're expecting them to lose this game throughout the, much like the Atlanta game last week, you're expecting them to lose this ball game for three quarters. And then, much like the Eagles have done the past couple years, they find a way in the second half to get back in the football game, specifically the fourth quarter, and pull within a score, you know, a field goal, a touchdown, or they find a way to take the lead. And then they fall short. The defense finds a way that they can't hold. And look, there's going to be some clickbait media out there that finds a way to make this spun on Carson Wentz, that he had, you know, I guarantee you there's going to be an article that he had two chances in the fourth quarter. He had two drives with under 3 minutes left to win this football game for the Eagles. And when you pay a guy $100 million, you know, that's what he should do. Sure. Then you actually use context. You go into the film. You see the drops. And you see how the defense plays, the inability to get to the quarterback, the inability, the inconsistencies from the secondary to hold on, especially against Kenny Galladay on key third downs. It's why Jim Schwartz was going cover zero and he was going all out blitzes. It was a combination of he didn't trust the secondary enough, maybe outside of, I mean, Rasul Douglas was the only bright spot at the cornerback position today. I thought Sidney Jones was bad. I thought Avante Maddox was bad. Ronald Darby was terrible once again. And the only reason that he got pulled was because he had a hamstring injury that kept him out for the rest of the game. So once again, he continued to get this long leash he doesn't deserve. Schwartz didn't trust the coverage, but he also didn't trust the pass rush. I've defended them the first 2 weeks. I thought there were some really good moments from the defensive line, the front four specifically, the first two games. But I kept saying, as I've said the past year and a half, They got to finish. Guys got to stop bouncing off Brandon Graham's chest after he beats a right tackle and he's got a quarterback wrapped up and that quarterback finds a way to slip away. Right? Malcolm Jenkins today comes off a blitz on the right side of the offensive line. They break it easily. Clear shot at Matt Stafford. Gets his hands on him. Stafford finds a way to slip away. So I've been on them for not finishing. They need to find a way to finish. They only have two sacks in the first three games, which is inexcusable, despite being top 10 in quarterback hits. That's the thing. That's why I defended them, because they were still getting to the quarterback. They needed to finish. Today, they weren't getting to the quarterback at all. Matt Stafford had way too much time in the pocket, and when you have way too much time in the pocket going up against what has been, I think it's an understatement to say, an inconsistent secondary, he's going to gash you. And they did that. There were way too many third down opportunities, and you could just tell the lack of confidence in the media, in the fans, maybe even in the players, or in the defensive coordinator, in the coach, Jim Schwartz, with the way he was dialing up blitzes, which is out of his character to do. You could tell, you could feel there was no confidence in this defense to get off the field and give the Eagles the ball back. And the only reason the Eagles really had a chance twice was one, because Matt Stafford underthrew a pass to Kenny Galladay on third down, throwing across his body. He was wide open in the middle of the field, and Stafford threw it short. That would have been a conversion, and the Eagles probably don't get the ball back two times. So you got lucky with one opportunity, and the second one came because Malcolm Jenkins found a way to play superhero once again and lay out for a blocked field goal. So, you know, this defense is, say what you want, and look, I'll get all over these receivers today that severely let Carson Wentz down. Miles Sanders, too, with the turnovers, the mental errors. But the defense, just, they got lucky the offense even had a chance. The defense has been a huge disappointment. And yes, again, injuries, you cannot discard them. You don't have Malik Jackson. You don't have Timmy Jernigan. Derek Barnett was beat up in this game for sure. But you're Fletcher Cox, and you're Brandon Graham, and you have Vinnie Curry still on this team, and Derek Barnett was playing down the stretch. You've got to get to the quarterback. This is supposed to be a core piece, a part of your team that you rely on more than almost any unit outside of Carson Wentz and outside of the offensive line, especially the way Schwartz has built this defense, the scheme. It relies on the front four, a four-man pass rush, to get to the quarterback, and they just didn't. They did not. They didn't come through on third downs outside of a few plays, and it's just such a, man, there's so many disappointing ways that we can spin this game, for sure. Some of the positives, once again, I'll say Carson Wentz. He, speaking of third downs, was great on third down. Third downs, he has been lethal for three straight games. Mobility, able to extend plays, keep his eyes downfield. He looked like he could run much like he did in 2016 and 2017 today. His mobility seems to be back. But not only running over the line of scrimmage, but running to open up the pass, especially on third downs, Wentz has been elite in that category, in that area, this year. That's part of his game that has returned to 2017 form. He was great today. Carson Wentz was great, even though I thought there was maybe two or three plays that he missed a wide open guy that could have been touchdowns, right? Throwing the ball away when Miles Sanders is wide open on the right side probably would have been a touchdown. In the red zone, the same drive, while they did score with Nelson Aguilar a couple plays later, Wentz missed Dallas Goedert running a crosser on the right side of the field. He beat his man. He was wide open for a touchdown. Carson Wentz missed him. So with his eyes today, I thought Wentz, and a lot of it too, I'm sure, had to do with he's trying to make a play. He's pressing. He's trying to find the bigger play, trying to play hero ball here because of what he had to deal with drops and mental errors on the offensive side of the football from his skill position players. But I will say, Carson Wentz, there were plays to be had today that were left on the field by Carson Wentz. But it's hard to get on him. It's hard to get on him when in the fourth quarter, he gets you back in that game. He kept you in that game. Carson Wentz was part of the only reason you were in that ball game. 259 yards, two touchdowns. He ran for 33 yards on four carries, 8.2 yards per carry, lethal on third down, and his numbers should have been better. And in the fourth quarter, he made plays to get them, even with Malcolm Jenkins with the block in the back. Carson Wentz made three great plays to get the Eagles in field goal range, and Mac Hollins failed him, Darren Sproles failed him, and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside failed him. So, I mean, if you're Carson Wentz, good on him for keeping his composure. I know I wouldn't have at that point. This was a 2016 game all over again where you think, man, if only we get a guy like an Alshon Jeffrey or a DeSean Jackson, it's going to be different. And you could see how glaring the need for those two was in this loss today. Eagles fall 27-24. You are listening to the Locked On Eagles postgame show presented by the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Just giving my initial raw thoughts, just hopped on the mic immediately after. Just a roller coaster of emotions once again in this game. 2 weeks straight, it's been like that with the Falcons game. Because once again, in that Atlanta game, you think they're done. The entire time, you see all the injuries. You see Carson Wentz coming out of the lineup in every core piece that you can think of. And the Falcons have a pretty substantial lead. And yet, the Eagles find a way to get a 20-17 lead in the fourth quarter. And the same thing today. They find a way to block the field goal, and they let you down after that. That's the worst, is when they prop you back up and you think, oh my gosh, they have an opportunity to win the game. Because mentally, I had already accepted the loss. And then that blocked field goal comes and you're like, oh my gosh, they're going to find a way to steal this football game. Despite all of the errors, despite all of the inconsistencies on defense, despite all of the injuries, the Eagles might find a way to get to 2-1 here with a huge, tough road test coming up against Green Bay. And that's the most frustrating part, is like, you get ready, you change your mindset totally. A total 180, 360 spin, whatever. A total flip of the script mentally, thinking that suddenly we might have a win to talk about on the show today. And it doesn't happen. That's when it's so disappointing. Because you know, you expect more out of this team. This 2019 Eagles team, on paper, we said it all offseason, is one of the most talented teams we've ever seen. And there's so much time left. I've learned my lesson from 2018 and just growing up watching the Eagles to not assume and to not write anybody off after 3 weeks of the NFL season, for sure. But it is inexcusable the way, even with the injuries, the opportunities that have presented themselves against teams that they're better than. Even with the injuries, they are better than the Atlanta Falcons, and they are better than the Detroit Lions, and they have come up short on both of them. That's so severely disappointing, considering the expectations once again. This is Locked On Eagles. We'll be right back. We'll wrap up the show as we put a final lid on this 27-24 loss. The Eagles fall to the Detroit Lions, who are 2-0-1. They have yet to lose in this 2019 season. The Eagles are under 500 after the first 3 weeks for the first time since 2015, with Green Bay coming up next on Thursday night. They got to quickly get over this one and move on to a 3-0 Packers team. This is Locked On Eagles. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right, everybody. We are back. Welcome in Louis DiBiase, getting you through this post-game show as we recap the Eagles' 27-24 loss to the Detroit Lions. Look, coming up, I'm not going to lie, the schedule, it's easier down the stretch. The second half of the schedule is easier, especially the last five games. But what's even more frustrating about this Eagles 1-2 start is that this was supposed to be part of the cushion of the schedule where you could build up a nice record as you get ready for some rocky times here coming up, right? The Redskins, Falcons, Lions, you were hoping for at least, you should be at least 2-1. Then, of course, you got Green Bay this Thursday. That's such a tough test, especially with how good this Packers defense looks like the best in the league. Geno's guy, Darnell Savage, the rookie safety out of Maryland, looks like right now the defensive rookie of the year. Their front four, Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, just an incredible performance by their front four so far the first 3 weeks of the year. Aaron Rodgers hasn't even really gotten going yet, and they still look elite. So, yeah, that's a tough test. But when you have Washington, Atlanta, Detroit, and New York, the Jets, with the first, you know, first five, those are your four of your first five matchups, you're thinking they should probably be 4-1. Because then you go on the road. It does not get easier for the Eagles. They got to go on the road in a short week, banged up against the Green Bay Packers this Thursday. Then they get the Jets at home. That should be much like this Detroit game, it should be a gimme win for the Eagles. I mean, it didn't seem like that, and it wasn't for Detroit, for the Eagles against Detroit today. After that, though, you go on the road for three straight weeks. You take on the Minnesota Vikings, then you head to Dallas, and then down the stretch, you got to go to Buffalo, which, trust me, as somebody that works up in Buffalo in sports radio, it's a tough place to play, especially with the way the Bills look this year, with Josh Allen, the step he's taken, and the defense, the way that looks. The Eagles have a tough stretch coming up. They have, of their next five games, I think only one is one that's like, they easily should win that game. And again, easily should win that game. And that's the game against the Jets. Because the Bills is probably the easiest of all the other matchups I said, but the Bills are catching the Eagles at the end of a three-game road trip where they head to Minnesota, then they head to Dallas, and then they head to Buffalo. And then they got Chicago, New England, and Seattle. So this Eagles team needs to get it together now. They need to look, the Dallas Cowboys are 3-0. They've beaten up on a lot of bad teams. They've gotten to play the Giants, the Redskins, and the Dolphins. But regardless, Dallas is already two games up in the NFC East. So the Eagles have to turn it around. They got to get healthy, of course. You need health for the longevity of the season, for the success of the entire season. But they also just need to capitalize. They need to play like the Super Bowl champions we saw 2 years ago, the team that was able to rebound last year despite all the odds and make the playoffs and get into the second round. We are not seeing the Eagles team that finished the 2018 season. We're seeing the team that started it off against the Buccaneers week two. We're seeing the team that collapsed against the Titans. We're seeing the team that collapsed against the Panthers that got blown out by the New Orleans Saints. That's the team right now we're seeing when it comes to comparing them to the 2018 roster. That's the team we're seeing right now. And that's not what I would say anybody expected. Not even the national media, the local media, the fans. No one expected the start that the hole that they are in right now. And you know, it's disappointing. I wish they could have stole this one and we could be talking about, while yes, all of this is still relevant, even in the win, we still would have had to talk about this stuff. It existed throughout the entire game and it's existed throughout the entire season so far. All these factors with injuries, with inconsistencies on defense, pass rush, secondary, you know, drops. But at the same time, if 2-1 is 2-1, and that's a win you got to have with, I mean, because now Green Bay is a must win. You cannot go down 1-3. In the NFC right now. Just can't have it. Eagles fall 27-24 to the Detroit Lions. A look at the stats as we wrap up. Carson Wentz finishes the game 19 of 36, 259 yards and two touchdowns. Miles Sanders leads the team in rushing, 13 carries, 53 yards, 4.1 yards per carry. Did have the two fumbles though. Jordan Howard, 11 carries, 37 yards and a touchdown. Carson Wentz has 33 yards of his own on four carries. And then in the receiving game, which was some of the biggest disappointments of this, was the drops, the offensive pass interference calls, which there was three. Two bad ones by Mac Hollins, and then a brutal one by Darren Sproles that took the Eagles even farther back on that final drive on a 4th-and-15. Sanders leads the way through the air, two catches for 73 yards. Zach Ertz gets to second all-time, by the way, So another positive through this one, Zach Ertz gets to second all-time in receptions in franchise history for the Eagles. He's only got Harold Carmichael now to beat. He just passed Pete Retzlav. Ertz with 4 catches and 64 yards. Mac Hollins, 4 catches, 62. Aguilar, 8 for 50, and he had 2 touchdowns. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, the second-round pick, 1 catch for 10 yards. A terrible drop on the final play of the game for the offense that would have set them up with a game-winning touchdown, because you imagine Carson Wentz is QB sneaking that, and the Eagles are looking at 2-1 right now. So the rookie was a ghost throughout the entire game, and then he has an opportunity to win the game for the Eagles, and he falls short after a doable pass from Carson Wentz right in his hands. On the defensive side of the ball, no sacks, no interceptions. Malcolm Jenkins comes through with that block, but then after the block on the field goal, he comes up with a devastating block in the back, which backs up the Eagles. Darby leads the way with 6 tackles. Rasul Douglas, though, I thought was the best player on defense today. Only had 2 tackles, but some big-time pass deflections. He showed what a 6'2 corner with his physicality, with his length, can do up against a guy like TJ Hockenson. I was really impressed with Douglas today. The other corners, though, Darby was bad. I thought Sidney Jones was all over the place, inconsistent. He made some plays, but let up a bad touchdown, let up a couple brutal third-down conversions. And Avante Maddox, too, was pretty inconsistent in the slot. So the pass rush just did not get home. And the Eagles are looking at 1-2 right now with a brutal test coming up. They have got to win this game. This is much like it. This Packers game coming up reminds me a lot of the Rams game last year, where you're in a 6-7 hole. It seems like, and again, it's way too early in the year to compare them to that, like saying if they lose, the season's over. But it's a very similar scenario where the Eagles are up against the wall. They are disappointing heavily in the season, and they have to go up on the road against one of the best teams in the NFC. Can they pull off another upset victory like they did last year? We'll see. We'll have you covered all throughout the week right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. We'll have a show tomorrow. We'll wrap up Detroit week with some stock up, stock down, but then we got to move quickly here and move on to Green Bay because the Eagles take on the Packers Thursday night at Lambeau Field. So we'll have Tuesday, we'll have a first look at the game with me and Gino, and then Wednesday we'll have our crossover Wednesday with Locked On Packers. So that's going to do it for the post-game show today. I'm Louis DiBiase signing off. The Eagles fall to 1-2. They lose to the Detroit Lions today, 27-24. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to the podcast to make sure you get 4 to 6 podcasts a week. Check them out on lockdowneagles.com. And of course, look, share your gripes. Get at me on Twitter at DiBiase, LOE, and the show page is at Locked On Birds. I'm out of here as always. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And let's go, Birds.